Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Glowing in the Dark, and let's start by turning over to Luke chapter 9. There's an amazing thing that happens, and it's recorded in the Gospels in a number of different places, but it's something that happens in Luke chapter 9. Is a few days at least, if not weeks, before Jesus goes to Jerusalem, is crucified, is buried, and raised from the dead. And I don't know, I think there's a number of reasons why what happens here happens. It's for different causes, for different people. But it is amazing to me, if one of the reasons is true here, what happens, how sensitive God is, not just to us, and how much He cares about us, and how much He tries to comfort us, but even with Jesus Himself. And you'll see what happens here in a minute and how this ties together. But God the Father thinking about Jesus, what was He was about to go through, and having basically some friends from the past to talk about what was about to come His way. Now let's start with verse 28 of Luke chapter 9. It says, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that He took Peter," takes three guys, Peter, John, and James, and these guys, brothers, James and John, "and went up on the mountain to pray." So He takes these guys, and He is known for this. He would take not all 12 of them. He'd take these three. You see it again in the Garden of Gethsemane. The night before He's crucified, when He's arrested, right before He's arrested, He takes these guys out to pray. But this night, He takes Peter, John, and James, and He went up on the mountain to pray. Now look what happens in verse 29. And it just kind of hits you. It's just there, but it's amazing. "And as He prayed..." Now, these guys have been together for almost 3 years, and they've seen Jesus pray. They've heard Him pray. They've learned to pray listening to Jesus pray. And if you think Jesus didn't pray, guys, that's what made His world go round. So Jesus prays. These three guys had watched this go on, and they had watched it so much that in a minute you'll see they fell asleep. They couldn't keep up with Him. It happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's out there about to die in the next few hours, and these guys are so tired, they're human, they're falling asleep on Him. These guys aren't just asleep. They're in like REM4, and that's not a band, it's a kind of sleep. But they're up there as He's praying, as Jesus prayed. Look what happens, verse 29. "The appearance of His face was altered." Now, something happens to Jesus, not that it's never happened before, it's just He goes back to who He really was for a brief period of time. Now, I don't even know how I'm going to get through talking about this, because this stuff gets all over me. Jesus, when He left heaven, left all of His physical glory, and you go read in Revelation what He looks like, who He is, who this God in a man is. And there is a day coming, and I pray to God you know Him, because you don't want to miss this. You certainly don't want to see Him and then be separated from Him forever. When you see this God in all of His glory, the radiance, it says there will be no need for sun in the Scriptures. You won't need a sun in heaven. He is so bright. He is the light. And for a moment on the top of a mountain, Jesus pulls back the veil and says, "I'm going to let you see who I am." And all of a sudden in verse 29, it says that His face was altered. And literally, look at it, and His robe became white and glistening. He starts to glow in the dark from the inside out. His face takes on a glory. His clothes can't even stand it. They start to glisten. It's just beaming through Him. Who He really is coming out. Now, if that isn't enough to happen, look what happens in the next verse, verse 30. "And behold," and look, He says, "two men talked with Him." Now, four of them went up on this mountain, Jesus, to pray with these guys. Three of them are asleep. And as they start to wake up, they look up, and it's Jesus glowing in the dark and two other guys. Now, guys, you can read the Bible your whole life, and if you have, you're almost at a disadvantage because you blow through this stuff and you miss it. How in the world are there two guys who are dead standing on this mountain with Jesus talking to Him? Moses and Elijah. These guys have been dead or gone. Now, Elijah, and we'll go back, Well, let's do this. Let's start with Moses. And I want you to go back into your Old Testament to a book called Numbers. Because I got to tell you a little bit about Moses, who represents the law, interestingly enough, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, all the books of the prophets in the Bible. But Numbers chapter 20, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And it is an amazing story, and I'm going to try to condense this, read it, and then just explain it in this way. If you are a new believer, the margins are wider for you than they are if you are a mature believer. And for Moses, who had walked with God, talked with God, face to face, been with God, God will put up with a little bit. There are things in my house with little kids, even things that I put up with a 2-year-old that I don't put up with an 8-year-old. And you will see this hammer fall on Moses because Moses made a technical error that cost him taking God's people into the promised land. And it's in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. The children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, and we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain or figs? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. There's no promised land. This is awful." They start complaining. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly. They got away from those people to the door of the tabernacle. They said, "Okay, you're not our problem. We got to go talk to God and see what to do about this." So they went to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, this big tent, and God moved around with them, and that was his presence manifest. And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. This glory thing, guys, is huge in the Bible. God shows up, and however he did it right then, it was obvious. It was bright. They knew he was there. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now look what he says, technicalities, verse 8. "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together." And then the word is key here in verse 8. "Speak to the rock before their eyes." Take the rod, go to this rock, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." He lit into them. Now, Moses' tactical error here, number one, is he didn't obey God, but he got emotionally involved in this confrontation with the people. He's ticked off at them, basically. And he said, "Now, you listen here, you rebels," and gets a little bit out of shape, obviously, and you can see the manifestation of that. "Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Now you think, well, everything went great, didn't it? No. Moses disobeyed. God said, "I'm telling you not to hit it with the rod. I'm telling you to speak to the rock, and I'll make water come out when you speak to it. They think you got to hit it or something. I'll use just your words and I'll make it happen." Then God says to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me," he said, "I told you to speak to the rock, you didn't believe me. And because you didn't believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." He says, "I'm pulling the plug on you. You were supposed to lead them into the land of promise. Now you stay, and somebody else is going to take them in." All because he didn't speak when he was told to speak. He hit it with a rod twice. Now Moses dies, and if you go a few pages over to the book of Deuteronomy, gosh, this is amazing stuff. Deuteronomy 34:1. "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan." God said, "Moses, look, you got him this far. I know what happened. I told you you couldn't go in, but you got to look. You can see it. All Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south, the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees as far as Zoar." Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." You can see it, but you can't cross. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Now, guys, I want you to see what happened in verse 6. Who buried Moses? It says, and he buried him. God buried Moses. Nobody knows where he is. You know how much trouble we'd have today if somebody found Moses? Sheesh, we got enough trouble as it is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. He could have taken him in, and the people wept for Moses. Now, there's Moses. Now, I want you to go a few pages over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, just keep going to the right, and you'll hit a king somewhere. Elijah is a great prophet in the Old Testament. He is powerful. He knows God. He's spoken to God. God's spoken to him. He has a relationship with him. So now we're going back over in Luke. Remember, Jesus is standing there. He's lit up like a drum, glowing in the dark. Moses and Elijah show up. There's Moses. Now here's Elijah. And I'm not going to tell you everything Elijah did. It would take too much time. But 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah never died, folks. He was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So there's Elijah and Elisha. Elisha is Elijah's kind of protege. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? You know what's about to happen today? We all know. Do you know? And he said, yes, I know. Keep quiet. Be quiet. I know what's going to happen. Leave me alone, basically. Verse 4, then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. Now I don't know why Elisha is trying to get away from Elisha. Maybe it's just a test to see if he'll stick with him. But he says, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that your Lord will take your master from over you today? So he answered and said, yes, I know. Will you please be quiet? Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now watch this stuff, verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, this thing, this cloak that was over him, took his mantle, he rolled it up, and he takes this thing and strikes the water, the Jordan River. Struck the water, and it was divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry land. I know about crossing rivers and seas when you got a whole mob of people, but this is some kind of bridge. I mean, if you want to cross something, this is the way to go. So he strikes this thing with his mantle, goes across on dry land, verse 9. And so it was that when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask. Now maybe this is why he took him this far. He says, okay, you stuck with me. I'm about to go. Ask. What do you want? He says, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Whatever you got on you, I want twice as much on me. I want that power, not to misuse, but to point people to God. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. You got to stay with me. And if you stay with me and you see me go, it'll happen. Verse 11, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire. A chariot and horses that are lit up on fire show up out of nowhere. And it says they separated the two of them. This chariot came between the two of them, pulls up. Would you like a ride? I mean, it's kind of a heavenly limo of some kind, I guess, but this chariot and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and he's gone, never died. Now, in a minute, you're going to see why this is important. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces, a sign of grief. He also took up the mantle of Elijah. Elijah's mantle fell to the ground. He picks up the mantle that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I got to read this because it's here. But this is a big moment. He's asked for something, double portion, got the mantle, and he's back at the same river. And it's one thing to believe something in your heart. It's another thing to take a step of faith and say, let's see if this works with me. So look what he does. And I think there's something going on here. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he strikes the water. You know, you kind of think, does he look both ways and go, well, if it doesn't work, hope nobody's watching. But here we go. Boom. And look what he says. He strikes the water and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. All right, now go back over to Luke. Luke chapter 9. Now, given that context, I want you to read this with me again. Verse 29, Luke chapter 9. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. His robe became white and glistening. And behold, now you know who, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. And I'm going to tell you why this is so cool to me. Moses is in the promised land. He got there. And I don't want to sound too trite with this, but this same Jesus, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, had conversations with Moses. And it had conversations with Elijah. And it's like three old friends on the top of a mountain. One had died, and one had never died. Jesus had one who could identify with him because Jesus was about to die. And he had another one he could identify with because even after he died, he was going to get zapped out of here like Elijah was, fly right off of here. Now, there weren't any angels and chariots. He just ascended into heaven. Now, I don't know completely why God allows this or had this stuff to happen. But there's another guy up there sleeping who is a big gun named Peter. Now, Peter's asleep. He has no idea how much responsibility he's about to put on him. But there's something going down on this mountaintop that night. And there's a piece of me that knows God well enough to think and believe that the Father said, he's got these disciples in his present. He knows what his future is, but he may need to have a chat with somebody from the past that understands why he's going to the cross for their sake. Because Moses had looked to Jesus, Elijah had looked to Jesus, all the law, all the prophets, everything had pointed to Jesus. And now here it is. Now there's a phrase in here, and if you're blowing through this, you miss it. It says, and behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory. These guys are glowing in the dark. And spoke, look what they spoke of. The Bible tells you what they talked about. And spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They came to talk to him about the fact that he was going to die. It's a pre-death experience, pre-death conversation. They knew Jesus was about to get hammered and why. Now the word there, it says decease. You may have the word die. The death is a word in Greek. It basically means exit, exodus. Very interesting that with Moses standing there, the word die is not used. The word depart is used, exit, into another promised land. And because he came here to deliver us, and Moses was there to deliver, but because Jesus came here to live, die, be buried, and raised from the dead in order to deliver us, then the real promised land is ours because of what Jesus did. All right, let's read on here. Verse 32. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. Now they're having this chit-chat. Everybody's glowing in the dark, but Peter, James, and John. And Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, now you know how you kind of come out of that deep sleep, and you're like, close your eyes, you go, yeah, I'm having a really wow, you know, this is a whacked out dream. I mean, you look again, you start coming out going, uh-oh, he's glowing in the dark. What does this mean? Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, the conversations ended, Peter's starting to wake up, the guys are waking up, they look up, they see him, and all like simultaneously, Moses and Elijah are out of there, Jesus is left standing there in all his glory, as they're departing, and Peter is an absolute doof. Okay, and it's pretty much reflected here. He doesn't know what to say, when to say it. He says something, then he has to retract it later. he's trying. I mean, he is just kind of outspoken, blurted out, and he does it again here. It happened. As they were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Man, this is great. Cool. Let's stay here. This is really neat. God, it's great for us to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles. Let's put some tents up. And how about this? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then it says, not knowing what he said. He just kind of talking. "Wow, this is really great. Let's stay up here and I'll build a little house for you, Jesus, and I'll build a little house for Moses and one for Elijah, and we can just stay up here and talk and glow in the dark together. Maybe I'll start glowing in the dark." And then I think as he woke up, realized, well, that's probably not a good idea, and that was kind of made obvious. Verse 34, now think, this is all happening simultaneously. Peter's talking, Moses and Elijah are out of there, Jesus is glowing in the dark. Verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud came. Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you think Jesus is glowing in the dark or something, and if you think Moses and Elijah in all their glory stand there or something, all of a sudden on this mountaintop, a cloud moves in, and it's not just any cloud. And next time you wake up and there's a rainy day, it may be the best day of your life because there's a lot of God and clouds in the Old Testament, so it may not be all bad. This cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. This cloud literally takes over. And a voice came out of the cloud, and this is what the voice said. "This is my beloved," or "this is my chosen son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Now, here's why some of this occurrence was for Jesus, some of this was for Peter, James, and John, because they had an experience that day with Jesus when they saw Moses and Elijah that could not be erased, no matter what happened. And I've had a few times in my life when something amazing has happened, but I don't have these things. Some people, you know, they claim to see Jesus every morning when they wake up. You know, I think they just got some bad stuff or something. I'm not sure that happens to many people. I don't think life is filled with these events. This voice says, "This is my beloved son, hear him, listen to him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, I'm gonna tell you why I love this book, because if you study it and you read it, and you get into it and you let it get into you, this is some awesome stuff. And our God is an awesome God, and he is a personal God, and he cares about his own son enough to send 2 guys from the past. One of the other great things about this to me is this: Elijah never died, he just got sent back to have a visit with Jesus. And Moses died, but God was kind enough to let him go be in the promised land with the promised one, and be of an encouragement to Jesus, who within a few days, a matter of days, would have to go to Jerusalem by himself. And even though James and John and Peter had seen all of this, you know what? They still ditched. I don't care what kind of religious experience you've had or what kind of revelation you've had, you can still betray the God of the universe on a dime. I'm not interested just in what's happened in your past. I'm interested in who you are today and who you know today and whether you trust him today and what you're going to do about tomorrow if you get tomorrow, because you can't live in the past. But God allowed Peter especially to see some things happen that day with Jesus, with Moses and Elijah, that I think one day would carry him a long, long way. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Even so, come Lord Jesus," and I get more this way every day. The more time you read this book, and the more time you get to know Jesus, the more you will long to see his face and to behold his glory. But until then, it is our privilege and responsibility to glow in the dark. Because see, when you walk out this building, it's darkness. The sun can be out blazing, it is darkness. And the only thing I've got, the only thing that any of us have got that will change that darkness is the light that's within us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get out of here, if you will let you get out of the way, if you'll peel everything back and say, Father, I don't want them to see me anymore. I want them to see you and your glory and that light and that power and that radiance that I have nothing of on my own. But when you fill me and you radiate in me and through me, then the world around me sees that light and they move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, literally from death, the Bible says, to life. Try glowing in the dark today and see what happens.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you. richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.